Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth About Trucking, live, hosted by Alan Smith, a 30-year OTR veteran, business entrepreneur, and motor carrier transportation consultant, specializing in assisting students and new drivers, and pushing forward to raise the standards of the trucking industry. And now, live from beautiful Citrus County, Florida, here's your host, Alan Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Truth About Trucking Live. This is Alan Smith, and today is Sunday, August 16th, 2009. And we're back on our part two of our organic gardening green truckers episode of what do truckers do when they're not trucking. And with us again is Barry Stutzke, the green guru, who, when he's not driving, is dealing with organic gardening and energy issues, just so many things we're going to be talking about from his website that he hosts. GreenFreedomOnline.com, and we had a show a couple of weeks ago, and it was only about an hour long and just couldn't fit everything in, so we're here for 90 minutes today to talk about what GreenFreedomOnline.com is all about and what Barry's all about and what he does when he's not trucking. So Barry, I see you there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Alan. How are you today?
I'm good, hanging in there. Boy, we just barely got online just in time, didn't we?
a little communications problem, but they, God bless the internet, or we wouldn't be on the air at all, you know. So, hey, I had a thought while you were talking early about what truckers do on their day off, and I just wanted to throw this out there. I do whatever my wife tells me on my day off, okay?
Well, yeah, we're all in that boat.
Yeah, well, I'm a... You know, but usually if I'm out there generating some food or having a good attitude, and you know what, if you get out there and you do something you enjoy, you end up having a better attitude, you know, as opposed to sitting in front of the television and looking and watching the news and saying, oh my God, the sky is falling, the planet's going to end, and global warming's melting the North Pole, and polar bears are dying, and we're sucking in carbon monoxide. Instead of doing all that, you could be out there just staring at an eggplant that you got growing, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, it's like I said on the last show we had, you know, that trucking, especially OTR trucking, can just take over your life if you let it. So, and it did mine for years and years, and then kind of came along here with you, and you kind of got me going back into this gardening thing. I grew up with gardening, but I'd never really done it myself. But it's a really a good way to pass the time, enjoy your days off, and gardening just happens to be your thing. The point is, it's just people can find something when they're not driving, you know, to kind of relax and get away from that trucking for a little bit. But let's go back real quick on from our last show, because like I said, it was only an hour, and we just ran out of time so fast. But one thing, your website, GreenFreedomOnline.com, it isn't going to be just all about gardening, right? I mean, there's going to be energy issues. Just fill us in a little bit about that real quick again.
It's going to include energy. I haven't gotten the energy pages up, but the focus is, a sustainable living, and some people call it permaculture. You know, that would be where you generate as much of your own food and energy as you possibly can. And in the process, something that I do a lot, and one of the reasons we're going to be talking about how to make your own compost or free fertilizer today, is because what a lot of permaculture is about taking things that would be piled in the landfill, things that would be drug out to the trash, and reusing them. It's the ultimate recycling, you know. So, and also, what it's all about is health. And if someone does the superfoods gardening method, they're going to, you know, you'll see the difference. I'll put it that way. You know, it takes time, but getting everything your body needs is really important. And if you can stay out of the doctors and, just have a better life, that's really my goal, just to help people have a better life if they choose, you know.
Well, that's what you've done with me, because you've got me going with my gardening out here, and you were able to come over here today and do the show. And all I'm doing is I'm just following your instructions from your website on that page, how to make your yard a produce market. And I've already grown the tomatoes. Now we're about to put beefsteaks and onions in. So you got to see my eggplants up close. What did you think about those?
Amazing. I had no idea, you know. I haven't been talking to you. And I knew that they were planting on it. I thought on my way over here today, and I'm out on Alan's back porch. I can see the eggplants and just a beautiful sight out his back window. There's a golf course. It's just real pretty. But I thought, geez, I wonder if they died, you know. I didn't know if what was going on. You know, well, another thing you said, what was my goal? My goal was to put on one page or two pages everything someone would need to know to put them into at least the third year of gardening. Or maybe fur, because if you do, I couldn't find it. I was all over the internet, read all kind of books, and I just couldn't find one place where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, this is what you do. So that was what started out. That's why the gardening part's up there, because that was the first thing that I thought about doing. So I wanted to get that up first before it got too cold to plant anything for a lot of people.
So. Yeah, well, that's what was so difficult about this, because, I mean, there's gardening is such a big thing, and I'm realizing that really there's a lot of truckers. I mean, we know several just around here who are into gardening and everything, but especially here in Florida, when all we have is sand, like I said on the last show, you've made it so easy. You just have it listed there, do this, do this, do this. And even though my yard is just nothing but sand, man, I've got some amazing things out there growing.
Yeah, we put everything in it needed, and what we added was exactly what's up on the site. And it doesn't matter, even if you do have good topsoil, it'll just make it excellent topsoil, world-class topsoil. If you have sand, you can turn that sandbox. And I don't. The only thing, that mineral that I'm aware of that exists in your backyard is iron.
Yeah.
You know, and it does. But other than that, I've never in my life seen anything like it. You know, I guess because, you know, you're closer to the Gulf of Mexico, and the ocean must have been in your backyard at some point in history, because I've never seen nothing like it, you know. And, I had some doubts. I thought, well, if what I'm teaching works, then, you know, it's going to work here. You know, if it can work here, it'll work anywhere. But anybody, you know, regardless of how good their soil is, this will make it better, and it'll also guarantee that it has all the minerals that the plant wants and the human body wants, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's seeing it with your own eyes out here in my own backyard, and all I've done is I've just done exactly what you've said to do. So so where do you want to take us today?
Well, what I was thinking about doing is, I wasn't going to, what happened in the last show is I just, 60 minutes, I thought, well, I can jam it in, but I wasn't able to jam it in, you know, and I thought, well, you know, it's September, or not September, rather, August the 19th, people aren't thinking about gardening, it's a trucking show, right? So here we are, at the end of August, doing a gardening show at a time of year when people aren't necessarily thinking about gardening. And an over-the-road trucker audience, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, over-the-road truckers do get home. Friends of mine are home Saturdays and Sundays. Friends of mine are home every couple weeks, 3 weeks. A lot of them have loved ones that could water the garden for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it actually is. There's way more interest than I thought. I didn't think no truckers are going to be interested in a topic like this, but everybody I talked to is like, wow, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it?
Yeah, I know.
So one of the reasons I put up the web page is that it was easier than sending 400 emails, you know. But everybody I talked to has some interest in it. And I think part of it is, you know, just because of the circumstances in the country right now, you know. I think that people recognize that, you know, the currency, you know, we're dumping trillions of dollars into the nation, and that we're borrowing, you know, ultimately the currency has to devalue. It's just, there's no way around it, and things are going to cost more. You know, it might not have happened so far because the economy has slowed down so much and demand has dropped. But, I mean, ultimately there's some great financial reasons why someone would also want to pursue this. But what I thought about was, geez, I don't have to do the compost thing until March. This is funny. Well, in where I live in Central Florida, March 1st, all the leaves fall off the tree at once. I mean, one day there's no leaves, the next day they're a foot deep. And I'm thinking, well, I don't have to do anything about that compost thing until March, because that's when people are going to have material to put it in. And then I realized, geez, if you live in Syracuse, New York, the leaves are going to start falling in a month. You know, I need to get – so that's part of the reason I wanted to do the show today.
Yeah.
The thing I love about compost is it's you can make it for free, and it's one of the world's best plant foods. And it'll take hideous sand like you got in your backyard and turn it into first-class topsoil. It'll also take sticky, nasty clay, and it'll also have the effect of turning it into topsoil. So it's really good just from for the physical properties, you know.
Yeah.
Also, it's generally, and it depends on the source, it depends on what you put in the bin, the specifics of what it contains, but it's generally got all the minerals that were in the leaves or that were in the whatever you used. So it's also, for the most part, if you get enough of it in there, you know, you don't have any fertilizer costs, you know.
Right.
And also, because it has all the minerals and vitamins already in it, you're getting, you know, something that's really good to be feeding your kids. So, anyway, I decided to go ahead and do the compost thing first. And I got on there, it's the compost page, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way that I found, okay, well, let's be back up. The first compost bin I ever made, I took a roll of 4-foot wire and constructed a bin exactly like the picture is up on the website. Got 4 poles, put them in. I knew a little bit how to make a bin. And I took these leaves. They were bone dry. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the science, you know. All I knew is you put leaves, and that's going to turn into compost. So I piled them in there dry. This is March of, you know, whatever year. And March the next year, what I had was a bin of dried leaves. I mean, what happens is the top layer of leaves acts like a umbrella and prevents the water from sinking down in. Also, the only thing I had in the bin was carbon. I didn't have all the other required things in there, so nothing. It just didn't rot, you know. And then I thought, man, Florida leaves don't rot. You know, well, sometimes having zero knowledge is a good place to start from, because if you know you don't know anything, then you know you got to learn everything, and then you ultimately you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's actually required for the composting process is 4 things: carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, or 5 things rather: carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, water, and microorganisms. That sounds kind of like scientific, but it's not, you know, but that is what's required. So the first thing to do is build a bin. You just get 4 posts, and there's pictures up there with tabs on them. You can buy them at any gardening or, you know, I don't want to say Home Depot, but that type of store.
Yeah.
You pound them in the ground. You know, the one in the picture is a 6x6x4 bin. You know, obviously you could use 3-foot wire, and you can make 3-foot sides, you know, but just figure out how big you want it and measure it out, put the post in the ground, and then cut the wire maybe 6 inches longer than what you need. The reason for that is when you close the front, you want to have a piece of wire extra so that you can secure it to the side and close it. Okay, for now, you attach the wire to the 3 sides to the tabs that are on the poles, and you got the front open. Well, one of the requirements of compost is oxygen. And in the traditional bins, what happens is they don't get enough oxygen, and they smell, okay, and they decompose slowly. You can make that batch of compost that's in the picture down at the bottom of that page, I'm going to say 90 days or less. And that stuff, actually, I brought that bin over, Alan. You've seen how it looks.
Yeah.
So what you're looking at is 90 days from leaves and whatever I could get my hands on to just first-class stuff. That probably represents about an $8 bag of compost right there.
Wow.
And I get many dozens of those a year. So it's even a financial thing, in addition to being way better than, you know, having to use the commercial fertilizers and all. So what you need to do is have some form of aeration for the bottom of the pile. So there's 2 ways to do this. You can get a skid, preferably a pallet, with the boards closer together. You know, I know you've seen a million pallets. The ones that are almost touching,
yeah,
that'd be the best one if you're going to use a pallet. Just get a drill and drill holes in it. If you use a pallet with the boards further apart, the stuff's going to fall through and it isn't going to allow the oxygen up. So if you don't have a pallet handy, just get brush. Just any kind of brush, and put a layer of brush on the bottom. What that'll do is hold the composting materials off the ground and allow oxygen to come up from underneath. So,
right, okay.
Okay, so where we're at so far is we got a bin, and the front of it's open, and you put the brush in, and the reason for that is that you want to allow the oxygen to come up from underneath. Okay, the third thing is microorganisms. Okay, there's two ways to get the microorganisms. What the microorganisms do is they eat the carbon that's in the leaves or whatever you're using, and through processes, they use the carbon and nitrogen and oxygen, but basically they eat the leaves and they leave the compost. So these microorganisms you can buy for probably $5 a bag. You can buy compost starter in the garden center. You'll see it there. It'll say compost starter on the bag. The alternative is free. I like free, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm always saying that, but it's really cool because, you know, every dollar that you don't spend on the garden, you know, is another dollar that you can use for something else, you know, to pay your electric bill, to go to Disney World, whatever it is. So every little dollar adds up. So rather than doing that, there's a little patch of woods next to my house. What I did was I raked the top layer of leaves, and what I found beneath is this black, crumbly-looking soil. Well, that's your compost starter. That's your microorganisms. You take a hoe and a 5-gallon bucket, and you just fill it to the top with that, and it's free compost starter. It already contains, because what happens in the forest is the leaves fall, and you notice they're not 6 foot deep like you would expect. And
right.
The reason is Mother Nature's compost pile is always working, you know?
Right.
So you take that compost starter, and you start to fill your bin up. And in the example, I have, I used grass, and I use leaves. The reason is that's what was available. And I'm going to give a pile of alternatives to that, but just for the sake of explaining the process, I'll stick with the grass and the leaves. And what you're looking to do is have brown, which is leaves, which are carbon, and green, which is the grass, which is nitrogen. So you take and you start piling in leaves. And, well, the best thing to do is have, if you're putting the leaves in volume, is have a hose misting. You know, you kind of attach it to the corner of the bin. If you look at that one shot, you'll see the hose. I should have put, like, a red arrow or something. Have the thing misting. Yeah, because it's critical. It's critical. You don't necessarily want to drown it, but it has to be damp. But water is definitely part of the composting process. So you mix leaves and grass. You just get a rake, and the mister's missing down in leaves and grass, brown and green, carbon and nitrogen, right? You mix it up, and then you get some of this compost starter, and you sprinkle that in there. That's your microorganisms. If you have some dirt handy, it helps, you know. Just sprinkle some dirt, a couple shovelfuls of dirt as you go along, and just keep layer by layer, green, brown, mix it up, compost starter, water, you know, and you just keep going along until you get to the top of the bin. If you don't have, and here's what's going to happen to people up north that are listening to this show, the leaves are going to fall October 1st, November 1st, are going to come off by the ton, and they're not going to have grass clippings. I know that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you're still going to want the nitrogen. So there's two ways to proceed with that. Is just use the leaves straight up and making sure that they're damp. Keep raking around and make sure that they're damp, and then just throw a couple shovelfuls of dirt in there and mix the dirt in with the leaves as you go. And then there's two alternatives. If you want to go 100% organic, the best thing to use is blood meal. Okay, that's an organic stuff. You can get it at heck, any garden center. Blood meal is about 15% nitrogen, and nitrogen is what the microorganism's looking for. So you just take a cup of blood meal every so often and mix that in if you want to go 100% organic. If you don't care one way or another about organic, get lawn fertilizer. That's the best thing to use. Lawn fertilizer is generally 20% nitrogen. Just sprinkle a cup of that in as you go along. So, and when you get to the top of the pile, okay, so you just keep filling the bin. When it gets to a point where the stuff's falling out the front, just take that fourth side of fencing and secure it, you know. But with the front open, it's way easier to load the thing, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we got in the bin right now is we have the out of the five things that I mentioned, we have the water, we have the nitrogen, we have the carbon, and we have the microorganisms. They're already in your bin. So now just envision you're all the way to the top of this bin.
Mm-hmm.
And you close it off. You make sure it's damp enough, but like I say, not soggy. At that point, you want to tarp it. And I'll tell you why. If it rains too much and really drowns the pile, you know, it can drown the microorganisms, you know.
Okay.
And a lot of these stories you hear about compost smelling, you know, are because of a couple, you know, because it either got too much water in it, it's not getting enough oxygen, you're smelling methane, you know. I mean, it's going to make that anyway, but I can tell you that the pile I got, it just doesn't smell because, you know, it's getting everything it needs. So I know there's some concerns out there about people like, oh my God, I don't want to smell that thing when I'm out barbecuing. You don't have to. If the pile gets everything it needs, it'll have maybe like an earthy kind of smell, if anything, and that's only if you're up close. So it,
yeah.
And the grass clippings, if you're using them when you're adding them in, like I say, you got to mix them up because they'll mat down, so you really want to mix it up real good. So when you get to the top, put a tarp on it. A couple weeks later, and about every 2 weeks. Now, if you want the stuff in a hurry, you'd be wanting to aerate every 2 weeks. And what I did when I finally figured out, okay, my first bin was just a pile of dry leaves. When I figured out what I'd done wrong, I built the pile correctly, and then it came to the part. I got 6 by 6 by 4, I mean, I don't know, 8 cubic yards, right, or whatever that is, you know, 6 cubic yards. I can't think off the top of my head. And it's time to flip it. And the instructions that I was reading were flip it every 2 weeks. Well, man, that's a couple tons of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I killed myself. I drug that out onto the lawn, and I threw it back in. And the only thing I succeeded in doing, it was a good thing, and if you have, if you're ambitious, there's nothing wrong with turning it or you know, because it will get the stuff from the fringes on the sides and the top. It will get them mixed into the middle. It will compost a little better. But primarily what that accomplishes is it allows oxygen into the pile. Okay? So in two weeks, you got to drag that whole pile out again and just break your bag again and sweat because the oxygen is depleted and the composting process is going to slow or stop altogether. So what I figured out is, like, man, if I get oxygen into this pile without killing myself, it's a good thing. So I was in this store. I saw these bulb planting auger. Okay, that's generally what they're called. You can use them for a variety of purposes. It's about 20, oh, gosh, I'm going to say 20 inches long. It's just a big drill-looking thing, and you put it on the end of your drill. So if you get one of these augers, what you do is every 2 weeks you untarp it, make sure that, you know, that it's moist enough. If it needs a little water, go ahead and actually drill first. You don't want to be squirting a hose on an electric appliance in your hand. And just every 3-4 inches across the top of the pile, it takes 5 minutes, just boom, just sink that thing all the way up to the drill, you know, boom, 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 you know, put these two 20-inch holes in the top of the pile, and what that'll do is allow oxygen into the pile, and when you're doing it, you're going to see steam coming out, okay, because the kind of pile I'm talking about, because it has everything it needs, you're pushing temperatures up to 160 degrees, believe it or not, so,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, but, it, you know.
Well, and they can see this by going to greenfreedomonline.com and clicking on where it says how to make your own compost, right?
Yes. If you go to my homepage and you look on the right, and you'll see a little smiley tomato graphic that I made. Actually, I made that graphic as a joke a while back for Alan. You know, I was messing with him. It's a pretty cool graphic. but right beneath the tomato graphic, there's a house with tomato plants that's bigger than the house, and there's a smiling tomato in the front. It's kind of gotten to be my logo a little bit. And if you click there, it will tell you specifically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 how to do it, you know?
Yeah, and there's images too, you know, because visual helps a lot to actually see what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, I redid them. If anybody was up there a couple of weeks ago when I first threw the site up, I had a bunch of corrupt photographs, and I photoshopped them the best I could, but there just wasn't enough data to work with to really make them look good. So I went in. A couple of them are photoshopped. If you look close enough, you might notice, but probably not. And it looks way better, and it's really easy to understand.
Yeah, because you know, it really sounds like a lot of work, but you know, I mean, I've seen you do it, and you brought your compost over here for me too, and the stuff is just, I mean, just as almost as black as coal. It's so enriched. I mean, it's amazing. And the auger sounds a whole lot easier.
It is. Yeah. Well, that's what I was faced with. You know, I work 60 hours a week. Well, you, Alan, you know. Over the last couple of years, I mean, there's times what federal law says you can run 70, and there's times I've nailed 70. I know a lot of drivers out there, and when you're looking at that kind of schedule, the idea that when you finally get a day off that you're going to just do 3-4 hours of backbreaking work wasn't on. So sometimes necessity is the mother of invention, and when I realized specifically on a chemical level what was going on, I thought, man, if I can get some oxygen into this pile, like, mm-hmm. I can make an end run around the backbreaking part, you know?
Yeah. I can see that from your site because you've got the little auger there, so it's a lot easier. You've made it just real simple to understand, but you've done this. I mean, you've made a ton of compost.
I figured at one time, you know them 10-wheeler dump trucks? Now, this would be going back to, I don't know, earlier. I'm just going to say May to pick a number. I figured it out, and those 10-wheeler dump trucks are 10 cubic yards. And I just did, I said there were, you know, a little calculator, and I figured out that I had like 11 or 12 cubic yards. So I literally, in my own yard, made an entire dump truck full of compost. Now, my friend, well, I got a lot of oak trees, and, oh, I'm going to get into resources, you know, and I figured out that if someone was raking their yard, stuff like that, they'll give you the grass.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a ton of this stuff, man, you can, you know, it depends on, you know. I guess I ain't too shy, you know?
Well, I like how it works on the pocketbook because, I mean, just a little bit of gardening that I have going out here now, we can already see a difference. You know, that's money we're not spending at the grocery store. And then, you know, if you go out and have to buy the compost and buy all this stuff, but you've just come up with a way to do it for free. And like you say, you like free stuff, and that's just more money left in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, Green Freedom Online, that word free means more than just freedom. And to me, okay, straight up, freedom. I'm a freedom-loving bugger, and, you know, I think everybody ought to be. And you know, to the degree that a person can take care of their own needs, you're free. Okay, granted, you got to show up at a job, and you got to show up at the wedding. You got to do whatever you got to do in your life to get by. But, you know, when you don't have a food bill, or if you took a significant chunk out of it, it isn't just the money you save there. You don't have to go to the local grocery store. You know, we don't. Now, granted, I live in Zone 9, Agriculture Zone 9, and I grow crops 12 months a year nonstop, which is why I make as much compost as I do.
Right.
At this point, I don't spend any money on fertilizer. I don't need it, you know.
Right.
I just don't need it anymore. In the beginning, sure, you know, I went out. I started out. I bought a bag of 888 or whatever, and that's how I started out. And as time went on, I got a strong interest in organic gardening. And, you know, whatever someone wants to choose, the reason there's two ways of doing things, everything I do, is because that's an individual choice. And under any circumstance, you're going to get dramatically better quality food than you would with what you buy in the store, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the tomatoes we've grown are just, I've forgotten what they're supposed to taste like. And these monster eggplants I have going out here, Donna's going to hit them with eggplant parmesan. So, man, I'm just waiting, you know.
You're waiting. Hey, let me tell you something, Alan. Let me tell you, buddy, that's the payoff for that bin of compost I gave you today.
Yeah.
The payoff's coming down the road. You know, I have some Italian relatives living up north, you know. And I'll tell you, I well remember what an Italian person can do with eggplant. You know, and I'm just really wanting to know what it tastes like. You know, God, let me throw this out there because a lot of people wouldn't know this, and I certainly didn't. When you get a tomato in the grocery store, and I brought this up last show, but it's important. You're looking at about 14 minerals, and that's an average, and that's lab tests. That ain't me just talking, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, a tomato grown with the superfoods method, and particularly if you're willing to throw the superfood supplements on, which are real reasonable and you don't use much of them, a bag will last for years. A tomato left to its own devices in proper soil has 56 minerals, okay? So the reason that a lot of people remember, geez, when I was a kid, tomatoes tasted so much better, it's because they did.
Yeah.
You know? But as time's gone on, the only thing that modern farming is replacing in the soil is primarily three elements, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And, you know, and eventually over time, and nobody's intentionally doing anything. It's just the way it is. You know, modern farming methods are what they are.
Yeah.
The minerals disappear, and eventually you end up with a soil that has no minerals. So who would throw that out there? The one thing that the compost will also provide for you is the minerals, you know. So you eat a tomato out of your garden now, and you're getting 56 minerals. You eat one that you bought at a grocery, you're getting 14. And I'm telling you straight up, when you get to a point where almost all, and you have probably in your case it's going to be all the food that you eat as far as produce is coming out of your yard, you will feel a difference, you know. You think clearer. You just get to your day off, you want to get out of bed. And I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I've done research on me and my two kids and my wife, and I can see a difference, you know. So,
oh, the flavor is just unbelievable. And so now I have all these tomatoes up here, and I've got the eggplants coming. So Donna's going to be able to make her sauce from homegrown organic tomatoes and the eggplant parmesan from the organic homegrown eggplants. So, man, that's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be over. You know,
yeah.
I mean, Alan, if you leave that pot, if you don't invite me over, you leave that pot in the fridge. You'll find your window jacked open at night, and some big Pollock sitting at your table eating. You know,
yeah. And this is it's fun too. You know, I mean, of course we need our farmers. You know, they feed the country, and at one point when I was younger, I even thought about being a farmer because I grew up in Oklahoma around farming and everything. But if you just want your own little garden in the background, and just get this unbelievable flavor, and like you said, you're providing everything they need. I mean, not just the 14 nutrients, but all 56 and stuff. So that's where the flavor's coming in, and for truckers who are just, you know, living in the truck, and they have the time off. I mean, it's enjoyable. I mean, on my days off, I'm out there, and I'm not only enjoying it, but it's given me exercise, you know, exercise that a lot of truckers, OTR truckers, don't get. So there's and we're filling it in our pocketbook now. I mean, we're not buying the tomatoes and stuff at the store as often. So there's really a lot of benefits to this.
Yeah, there is, and you know, one would be it's something, and it may be why I'm feeling so much better straight up, you know. And even though I'm not running over the road, I do run, you know, I run 100,000 miles a year. I'm 12 hours at a clip, strapped in the seat, you know. So it's kind of weird. I mean, I'm a local driver that really sits on the interstate a lot, you know. I love I-75. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. I want to put a toll booth out there so I can make a little residual income. But I like air conditioning and satellite radio, and I listen to gardening and alternative energy MP3. So I'm real happy on the job. But nonetheless, it's gotten to a point where I got to my day off and I just didn't want to move. But I think that what you're saying is the exercise, also sunlight, and you know, well, sunlight's causes skin cancer. Yeah, well, too much of it does. But the truth is that a certain amount of it, about the amount that you're liable to catch out there working in the garden, supplies your body with vitamin D, and it's actually extremely beneficial, you know. But you know, if you're in the out there on the beach and blistering, that's where you get a problem. But so I think what you're feeling, Alan, is a combination of your physical body moving around, and while you're out there working in the garden, a lot of the toxin in your body, you're sweating them out, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun, and you know, and what I really like about your site, I keep saying this, is you provide so much information because, I mean, I have spent hours and hours looking online, and you think you find an answer to a question, and then you go to the site, and you can't even find your question there. But you've got so much stuff listed about, okay, this is what you need, this is what it does, this is what it's for. And I was telling you earlier, I get a kick out of, like, my eggplants out here, the flowers. The flowers were looking a little bit droopy for some reason. I couldn't figure out why. And you have this thing called liquid seaweed. So I said, well, I'll shoot some liquid seaweed. That's what Barry said to do. So I put some liquid seaweed on there yesterday morning, and you and I was just out there. And just today, now those flowers are just blooming and just – I mean, you can physically see this stuff work with your eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it works. It works. And you're like a confirmation of everything that I'm doing, you know, when I see that it's working for you. That's called tweaking. And now, by the way, I'm not selling liquid seaweed. I want to put that out there. That's something, but you can get it at a lot of stores. I'm not selling anything right now.
Oh, no. You just got the information up there.
What my goal for right now is to just put it out there. We're in a course of, in a 34 an hour study, whatever it takes, print the thing out. Someone can get started. But yeah, that's called, I call that tweaking what you did. And yeah, I knew liquid seaweed would have that effect, you know, specifically on an eggplant, you know. I'm going to have a tweak list up there after a while of what to tweak what plant with and how to recognize different things, you know. Just like generalities, you know, if you had leaves on that eggplant that were yellow on the outside, I said, Alan, get some bone meal. Bone meal's 0-10-0, so it would have threw phosphorus to it. I would have known that, you know. But it's basic things like that. It's not going to be every plant known to man, and I don't want to get into Master Gardener, you know. But what I did get real good at is soil preparation and tweaking. That's what the focus has been, you know.
Yeah, well, I've just done exactly what you've told me to do because, I mean, again, you know, my yard out here, you go a half inch down, and it's nothing but sand, but I'm growing amazing stuff out here, and I'm just doing what you're telling me to do. That's
yeah,
all.
anybody could. And, you know, later in the show, I pulled down a list because I know there's a lot of people listening who are like, man, I live in Syracuse, New York. You actually can plant stuff in Syracuse, New York today if you want to. I also put up a quick start. You know what? Let me finish out this compost,
yeah,
and then I'll get into the back. Okay, where we were at with the compost is you got the pile built, you tarped it. 2 weeks went by, and it's time to give it a hit of oxygen. Okay, your nitrogen, your water, your carbon, and your microorganisms are already in the pile, and they're working. So you get this auger, and I would, you know, like I say, if you want to turn the pile, that's great. You know, I mean, you know, maybe someone's younger and tougher than me, you know, they want to, and there's nothing wrong with that. Ideally, you would, but, you know, this is a...
I think the auger is a good way to go.
It is for
you. Especially when you've been 3 weeks in a truck, you know, like these OTR drivers.
It's 5 minutes. It's literally a five-minute thing. I got a picture of the auger up there on the drill so you'd understand, but if you go in any garden center and say, I want a bulb auger, primarily what they're used for two things. They're used for planting bulbs for people that plant tulips and things. You know, it's just an easy way to drill a hole and drop the tulip bulb in. The other thing that you can also use it for is fertilizing your trees. And I'll have a tree fertilization page up there eventually, you know, but you can, I don't want to get into all that right now, but you can, there are other uses for the auger.
How much is one of those augers?
$15.
Oh, that's cheap.
Okay, now I've seen them as high as $20.
Okay, so there can be just a small amount of investment in the beginning, like anything, but then once you have it, basically everything's free.
Yeah.
That's what's nice.
Yeah, I've gotten to that point. Now, I didn't start out that way, but, the investment, even if you go with the superfoods method, the amount you're investing, you will make back in no time. You know, certainly halfway through the first growing season, even up north, you already got all your money back. Because here's something you got to factor in when it comes to finances, and it's a different, little bit of a different point of view on it. If you get $200 worth of tomatoes out of your garden, which you will, if that's what your goal is, you might, you know, depending on how many you put in the ground, it isn't just that $200, because you're comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing world-class health-laden tomatoes to whatever the store is selling, right? And
right. All those nutrients your body is getting.
Right. So okay, but we'll just stick with the 200. We'll just call it equal, even if it's not. Well, the other thing is, in California, you got a 10% state income tax, and you throw another 15 into the federal government with Social Security and what have you, maybe more. So the truth is that $200 worth of food you generated is worth $250 right up front.
Yeah.
Okay, and you got to ask yourself, how many hours do I have to work to make $250?
Right.
So, you know, that might represent a couple days' work. So, you know, it's way beyond the dollars that you see right there, you know. So it's
right.
It's a good thing. A good thing to do. Well, as far as the compost, because I'm getting a little off track.
So now once you, like every 2 weeks, you just kind of run that auger so it can breathe and get that oxygen.
Right. Well, that got the oxygen into the top. Now, there's nothing I could do with the bottom, you know, but the pallet and the brush down there, you know, will allow enough oxygen that as the compost is cooking, it's heating, and it'll draw air through the bottom because it's not sitting on the ground, if you follow what I'm saying. It's some manner of a convection current. It's sucking air in from the bottom of the pile, so that for the most part, oxygenates the bottom of the pile, you know.
Okay.
I haven't had any problems with it not digesting down there. The other thing I did is I had to get oxygen into the sides of the pile, so I got about a 36-inch piece of rebar that you can get at any hardware store, be in the section where the concrete is. And I couldn't auger the sides because of the fencing. And I had the piece of rebar. I didn't even have to buy it. It was just laying there. People I bought the house from had it there for some reason. And I take the rebar, and every several inches, I sink that rebar as deeply into the pile as I can. And that everywhere that rebar hits allows oxygen into the pile. So it takes 5 minutes to auger the top, another 5 minutes to poke the sides.
Yeah.
And That's it.
Okay, and I, like I said, I've seen your compost, man. It comes out, I mean, it's so rich. It's so black, man. It's cool.
It's kind of like I'm bragging, but, man, it's just great stuff, and the results are unbelievable, you know. You need snowshoes to walk in my garden. It's just like, oh, my God. You know, I cut back to two bins. You know, I like having two because that way I always have a place to throw stuff. And I get a lot of it. I'm going to get into that in a minute, where I get the stuff and how I do it for free. But I like to have two. You don't have to have two. When the stuff finishes, now, if you keep it aerated, I'm going to say 90 days, it'll be complete. You don't have to take it out of the bin as long as there's a tarp on it. You know, if you're up in Montana somewhere, you know, just let it winter over in the pile so it won't hurt anything. The outside temperatures don't have a whole lot of effect on it. If it gets down below zero, I imagine it'll freeze and slow it down. But what you'll see is actually on a cold day, you'll see steam flying out of the top of the pile.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Well, I like it because I figure if I can use that stuff and grow the vegetables like I'm growing in this sand here in Florida, I can't imagine what people in North and Montana and who already have decent soil, I can't imagine what they can grow.
They'll just get there a lot easier than you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even in their case, I would suggest doing the whole superfoods method the first year. And in most soils, I'd suggest doing it the first 2 years.
Now, where's this superfood method?
That's on the how to turn your yard into a produce market page.
Okay.
I'm going to retitle that page, actually. You know, I didn't have time to do it yesterday evening. I was working on getting the compost page, you know, more understandable and with way better quality photographs for today's show. So, but it's eventually going to be called the Superfoods Method. But that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, you know. And it does. So, but no matter where you live, I would do that. I would do the Superfoods Method the first couple of years. So anyway, now we got a situation where the compost is complete and you can use it as you want. If it's completely composted, it's generally going to throw a neutral pH. If there's little bits of leaves, which there might be, okay, if there's one downside of this method, I'm going to throw this out there. The perimeter, like the outside edges and the top, won't completely compost. So what you'll have is 95%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of that 5%, you took 10 minutes every 2 weeks as opposed to 2 or 3 hours every 2 weeks trying to drag that mass quantity of junk out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, and again, you've made it for free. You don't have to go down to the store and open your wallet.
It's actually better because, in a lot of cases, it's better because of this. You don't know when you buy it. Now, for someone that's going to go dig a garden tomorrow, by all means, buy whatever they have at the local gardening store. Any kind of compost will work, you know, and follow the numbers that I got up there for how to start a garden. But, you know, I know that depending on the source materials they use, the stuff you buy in a store. Here's what they do. I know this happened to me. I bought a 50-pound sack of compost. I started out buying it. I just wanted to get going, you know.
Yeah.
And I bought this one brand was really good. And the next time I saw, like the one brand I paid $8. And the next time I went there, I saw this bag for $6 or whatever it was. It was a couple dollars cheaper. And I thought, man, I bet that's the same thing. I'm going to get me the $6 kind. And I get home and I start, and what I found out is what I had was a 50-pound sack. I had 35 pounds of compost, 5 pounds of wood chips, and 10 pounds of sand, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so another, you can see there's sand in that stuff I gave you, but what the heck, you know? I mean, we're making that for free, so. But
yeah.
I thought, man, I'm paying, you know, and the stuff that I paid $2 more for had no sand, so it was actually cheaper, you know? But
yeah.
Making your own, you know, you have some control over what goes in it. You know, you're not putting human manure in it, okay? I mean, I don't know, you know? I don't think they're allowed to in something that's going to go in a vegetable garden, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But for the sake of, actually, as far as compost goes, if you want to, there's a brand, and I'm not big on promoting any particular brand, but there's a brand of composted cow manure that I've used that's excellent, and that's what I ended up using until I started. It's called Black Cow, and it's spelled with a K. That's really good stuff. But there's other brands out there. Composted cow manure is consistent because the raw materials are consistent, so you may want to go with composted cow manure
Yeah, I knew you liked Black Cow.
I do. Yeah, it just sounds like a Black Cow commercial, but it works.
Yeah,
you know?
it has a really good name. I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah. But like I say, that's not available everywhere, and I'm sure there's other companies that make a good product, you know, but it's just, you know, that's something that I use firsthand. So at that point, you just dump it in the garden as per the quantities I'm telling, you know. And, you know, if you're a lot of people that are going to follow this method are not going to be planting anything till the spring, so that gives it 6 months to compost, you know.
Yeah.
But when spring rolls around, you're just going to have, like, you know, a couple tons or hundreds of pounds of good material to start your garden with, and you know, depending on where you live, in April or May or whenever, depending on where you live, you know.
Yeah, because we're a little bit different here in Florida. Like you said, we've got a 12-month growing season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been definitely cashing in on that, you know. I didn't even know. You'd be shocked at how many people live down there down here and live in, we're at Zone 9. You're sitting in Zone 9, which would take in, there's parts of South Texas and Louisiana, California, coastal California, a lot of that's Zone 9 as well. So they're in a 12-month growing season.
Yeah, when you think about it, there's really a lot of places that can have a 12-month growing season.
Yeah, it's funny, but one of the first people I met, I just started to get to where I knew what I was doing. And good guy, you know, good guy. I mean, he was just, you know, someone that you could get along with, and he told me straight up, you can't plant tomatoes in August.
Well, I'm fixing to.
I said, you know my personality. I thought, okay, and I walked away. I didn't want to argue, and I'm no know-it-all, you know, but I do know, like, when I'm eating, it's amazing. We had a real cold fall last year. We got temperatures in the 20s in November, and that's just unreal, man. I mean, we can go a couple of years without getting below freezing, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I ended up using a lot of the tomatoes in December for green fried tomatoes, you know.
Yeah.
Because it just got so cold. We just got some climate from one of those Yankee states, you know.
Yeah, it was one of those unusual things.
Yeah, I used to be a Yankee, so I'm allowed to throw that terminology around, you know. and you know, but that was unusual. Now, the previous fall, it was New Year's Eve, you know, and I'm out there picking tomatoes, you know.
Yeah, I think that's funny because I have some people come up here when I'm working in the garden. And they said, well, what are you planting over there? And I said, oh, I'm putting in some beefsteak tomatoes in there next week. And they're like, you know, the end of August, you're going to do that? I wanted to say, hey, come by a little bit later. They'll be growing. And I'm putting in onions, yellow Spanish onions, next month. So that's what's amazing. I mean, with this compost thing you've got and the directions that you have on your page for method one, method two, I mean, you show everybody what to add, and it's so easy. It's just four or five steps, and if you just do that, it grows. I mean, I just sit here and watch them grow every day.
Yeah, well, it ain't rocket science, you know, and I understand why people write 400-page books on gardening, and I've read them, and I got one I haven't even – it's in the cellophane, okay? I don't know when I'm going to get around. I love to read, you know, but it's hard – I thought about setting it on the steering wheel of the truck, but I think my employer would get mad, you know?
Yeah.
You ever see people do that, man? They're going down the interstate.
Yeah.
Like they got now it's laptops. They got a laptop on the...
Not a good thing, especially when you're hauling gas.
Scaring me, yeah. I got 27 tons of gasoline in the back of my head, and they're on their laptop. But nonetheless, I knocked the crews off and let them get by me real quick, you know?
Really?
So, okay, so where we're at is now you got the compost, and... I wanted to take a minute to give a list of things that you can potentially put in the compost.
Okay.
Okay. And brown. Okay, this is generally how you use it. Now, the color may not be brown, but in the case of what I got listed under brown, it actually is. Or green isn't necessarily green, would be more to the point. Brown is your high carbon materials. Now, you don't need to measure them, but in general, if it was two parts brown, one part green, something like that, that would work. You don't... Because, you know, if you were using grass clippings, they're highly concentrated nitrogen, you know. So if I had two bushels of leaves, I wouldn't need two bushels of grass clippings, you know.
Right.
I could probably put three bushels of leaves. But you don't need to worry about that, you know, because you can supplement with the other things if you have to. But as far as brown high carbon materials, leaves, any kind of leaves, you know, if they fall off the tree. And here's something that I did. I didn't have enough leaves. And a guy across the street, Jim. that he was raking his leaves. I said, Jim, can I have the leaves? And it wasn't hard to convince him, you know. He put them in one of them wheelie trash cans and drug them across the street. He just wanted to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So if you're not shy, you can get as much leaves as you need. Okay, there's another guy that lives on the corner, and he's got just this gorgeous lawn, man. You know, he's just got this beautiful, he's always out there, and he rakes it. And so it's just a chore. So I said, Ed, I said, can I have the grass clippings? And, boy, it wasn't 15 minutes. He was over with one of the massive wheelie trash cans.
Oh, really?
Filled with the top of grass clippings. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Okay, that's where I get a lot of stuff. But, you know, because I know, like, people got little yards, or, like, in the case of people up north, you know, it's not going to be the right time of year to get grass clippings. But if you ain't shy, just ask. People will give it or junk real fast, you know?
Yeah.
So the side benefit is that isn't going to get piled in the landfill somewhere. You know, you're putting it to good use.
Yeah.
The only caution I'd have, if I see the chemical lawn truck in someone's yard, I don't want their grass clippings, because I don't know. I mean, I'm big on not having pesticide. So, I mean, if you do see the chemical lawn truck out there every week, then, you know.
Probably stay away from
it. I won't take it.
Yeah.
Know. The guy, well, anyway, that guy. But if I notice someone's, for the most part, not, you know, putting too many toxins on their lawn, you know.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and take the free grass clippings. The other thing I did was I made friends with, I did not intentionally. A friend of mine bought a produce market. A literal produce market. You know, along the side of the road, he bought a circus tent. He put that up, and he bought these. And he's in the produce business. Well, there's stuff that he can't sell. And, you know, it may not be rotten, but it's just a little shriveled or whatever.
Right.
You know? And I go by, or my wife goes by every day, you know, about 4:30, and pick up a box of that. So that's free nitrogen as well.
Oh, you just throw that into your compost bin.
Uh-huh. That's why I got so much of it, between Jim's leaves, Ed's grass clippings, and Dan's produce. I got, like, this unlimited supply of material. You know, if I didn't have all that, I could still make a reasonable amount, but I just, you know.
But this is what's some of the things that's on your list, what you can add?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as far as brown, I'll get back to the list here. So you need a mixture of brown high-carbon materials and green high-nitrogen materials. Brown, leaves, any kind of leaves. Pine needles, straw, wood chips, peanut shells, sawdust, shredded cardboard, shredded newspaper, and, you know, if you have if you're in a habit of shredding your bills, any non-coated shredded paper. So the white paper. My favorite thing to shred is to compost is the credit card bill.
Yeah.
But what I do is the envelope has that little plastic window in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I rip that out. If there's any advertisement in there, that shiny kind of paper, you don't want to use that. And then I take the rest of the credit card bill. Usually I pay it first, you know.
Yeah.
What's left over, I drop it into the shredder next to my desk, and then I get the shredded paper. I throw that right in the compost. So I have a lot of paper from work. I have to fax my work in every night, and there's cover sheets and stuff like that. I throw them through the shredder. I shred the cover sheets, you know.
Really?
I turn them. Yeah, so yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You said, what's up with Green Freedom Online? And a lot of it's that, you know, just little things that we all can collectively do to make a massive difference. So you're taking something that will go to a landfill that is going to be piled in your trash, and you're turning it into food.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you just got to know how.
Yeah.
You just got to know how, you know. And I didn't, but I figured it out. So that's the brown high carbon list. I gotta say, it's all up there on a site. So I mean, no one needs to write this down. It's gonna stay up there. It's gonna get tweaked. It's gonna be, you know, better as time goes on. And the energy, primarily, what's coming up very soon in the realm of energy over the next couple of weeks will be, what can I do to save energy this winter for the people up north? And there's all kinds of stuff I got. Stuff that costs $5, stuff that costs $10, stuff that's free. It's just that I know that people. They don't know that, you know, so it's going to be just like the pages that are up there now. It's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you do this, you cut your heating bill by 10%, you know.
Wow, that's
okay.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, you can do it. I know, because I did it, you know.
Yeah.
So, although in my case it would be air conditioning primarily, but, you know, I'm going to have, like, real easy-to-do things that even someone living in an apartment can do, you know, that won't mess with the structure of the building, but will, you know, because the money's coming out of your pocket, whether you're renting or whether you own a house, you're paying the bill.
Right.
You know, and I have a feeling electric rates are liable to go up a lot, depending on what the government does over the next several months, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome that you'll have this stuff, because, I mean, it just all goes back to, especially in today's economy and the recession and everything, just, I mean, just money saving, you know, keeping that money in your pocket.
Yeah, that's the whole point, you know. I mean, I love to change the world, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm a dreamer, but if I made a difference in your life, Alan, or one other person, I got another friend. Okay, let me talk to this guy from Orlando. His name's Nathan. And Nathan said, man, I would love to grow something. Can you help me get started? So I did. I just threw everything into an email and told him exactly what he had to do. I'm familiar with the climate in Orlando. You're getting towards zone 10 down there, and I knew about what he could plant when and exactly what his soil was going to be like. So I gave him a list, and he said, what I want to do is give the food to hungry people. And that kind of touched me. I was like, man, that is just awesome, you know?
Yeah.
This is just a nice person, you know?
Yeah, he is.
You know? Yeah, I know you know him, and I agree. You know, that's what it's all about. Just, you know, if you can't feed yourself, you can't feed the starving man up the street, you know. And this guy's goal, he's a single fella, and his goal is to help people, you know. I thought that's just wonderful. And if he can, you know, I'll get him started with his compost pile after a while. He has access to materials, and, you know, he could, like, make a difference, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and someone could say, well, yeah, there's millions of hungry people, and he's only feeding one. But it may not make a difference to all million, but to that one person, it makes a massive difference. You know?
Yeah, really.
You know, the guy I got the leaves from, as a matter of fact, that he's an old retired guy, you know, and we'll give him a basket of stuff. You know?
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, it is. You know, so you know, that's in the beginning of the show. Why am I doing this? Well, that's part of the reason why. I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping that people will say, man, I could actually make a difference to that one person. You know, I mean, you can't change everything, you can't do everything, but if you could just help one person, you know, and you help yourself. There's nothing better than getting a basket of tomatoes and walking across the street and giving it to the retired guy, you know. I know he needs it.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to live on you know, $900 a month of a Social Security, whatever it is that he's got, I'm sure he's struggling, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I like about your site, because it does help people. It certainly helped me. Don and I can feel it from our little grocery bill. And once it gets spread out there, and even like you said, people up in the north, winter coming soon and everything, and you'll have tips that things that just people don't think about that they can actually utilize to, you know, cut their bills and, you know, save a little money. So I don't know of anybody who wouldn't be for that.
Yeah, well, I'm for it. I'm, you know, there's some things, and I'm not a scientist. I'm a MacGyver in a lot of respects. You know, I love screwing around. You know, you heard my solar oven stories, and for the truckers out there, no, I never did get the over the road trucker solar oven complete. Although the logic behind it, anybody can make one. It's cheap, but I just, you know, I melted the one. I used the styrofoam insulation, and it melted. And, you know, I just, you know, with the site, haven't gotten around to doing. But that kind of thing will be up there. It'll be a little shoebox-sized solar oven that an over-the-road trucker can just, you're laying over at the Flying J, or also someone that's camping, or also, Alan, you could just say, man, I want to heat up a burrito. I'm going to call it the burrito burner. That's going to be the name of the solar oven. And just say you're here on your day off, and you want to heat up a burrito.
Yeah.
Man, I want to try that solar oven like that. And you just go out in your yard and you put it out there. An hour later, you got a red hot burrito. You know, that's what I call a burrito burner. It'd be just a small thing you can use for camping, you know, and that anybody could make. So, will that make a big difference in your electric bill? Well, you couldn't microwave the thing. Maybe it's only a nickel, you know. But it's a difference, you know. So that's the kind of stuff like that I just love, you know. But I'm not an expert on hydrogen. And I'm not an expert on solar. I know, from layman's point of view, I do know a lot, but I can't explain to somebody how many panels and voltage and watts and this and that. I just can't. So I am in contact with a fellow who's an absolute flame and expert on all that. So I'm going to be having contact with him, and some of the high tech stuff where you need to be a scientist to develop the methods, you know, I'm going to have expert help on, you know.
Yeah,
but that's coming down the road, you know.
Yeah,
it's not there now, but for right now, what I'm going to focus on energy is how to cut it, you know. And I've taken over a 20% chunk out of my electric bills. Eventually I'm going to scan them and put them up there so people can see, you know. But I can't give you an exact percentage, but it's been a lot. It's been a lot of common sense. It's been, I have a friend who used to work for NASA who is in the space age insulation business, and he gave me a lot of tips, you know. A lot of stuff I would have never thought of that was real simple, real cheap, and extremely effective. But he's, like I say, he's just some manner of a scientist, so he knew all that. But he took it and broke it down into practical applications, and that'll be up there so anyone who has a desire can make a burrito burner or cut their electric consumption back, and that'll be a big help financially, and you know, and the power doesn't need to be generated in the first place, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, who wouldn't want that? And like you know, again, with winter coming on and the kind of winters that get up north and everything, I mean,
oh
man, if you could cut your bill 20%, how great would that be?
Tough on breaks. I have a friend that actually he's listening to the show most likely. He lives in Sturgis, Michigan, and that would be due east of, I don't know what Great Lake it is, one of those big bodies of water up there, you know. And we had gotten down to 20 degrees or so in Ocala, you know, it must have been January, February last year, and I was just could not get warm, you know. I'm just so used to the heat, I just couldn't. It hurt, you know.
Yeah.
And I know I sound like a sissy, but man, I'm just got used to the heat. I can handle 90 degrees for 12 months a year. It has no effect anymore. But when it gets cold, I'm like, oh my god, I don't want to walk out the door. So anyway, I started whining to him a little bit, you know, in an email, and he said, check out my weather report. Well, I looked at the 5-day forecast, and it was bouncing around between lows of 5 below 0 to highs of 10 above 0, snow, sleet, freezing rain, and ice pellets.
Oh, man.
And me and him were joking. I talked to him about 3-4 days ago, and I said, I'd never heard of ice pellets on a weather report, you know, but they ran out of names for the junk that falls out of the sky, so I know. I know that I can help him, you know, and that if he, you know, at the very least, if he can cut back. He must have burned massive quantities of home heating oil with those sub-zero temperatures and the 30 and 40-mile-an-hour winds, but,
oh yeah,
you know, there are places that, yeah, and I know that's coming, but what I'm hoping for is that people that live in that environment, when leaves fall off this fall, they'll go ahead and spend a couple bucks, build the bin, and get the compost. And then Sturgis, Michigan, I'm going to say May, you know, my friend can, he can put a garden in, and he'll already have the raw materials to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, just so, get started early, get it going.
Yeah, hey, you know what, I didn't get to the green.
Yeah, what's the green now?
Green, yeah, y'all like that. Green Freedom Online, huh? You want to get me started here, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the ego's starting to swagger here a bit, but I love that word green, I just do, you know, and there's nothing. Hey, I'll throw this out there because, man, it's become such a political, this has nothing to do with politics, it has to do with what we're talking about today. I don't care, you know, about politics. And I there are people who see the word green in my website and they'll never go there, and that's okay. And there's plenty of others when they see the word green, they'll go, cool, and they'll go right to it, you know. So it's a toss-up, and you can't keep everybody happy, but, you know, I want to stay away from politics. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, or Liberal, or Conservative. It doesn't matter, you know. You can grow your own food, and you can save a ton of energy and make the planet a better place, and that's a good thing, regardless of people's politics, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So the green high nitrogen materials, okay, grass clippings. If they're available, get them. If you don't have them, get them from the guy across the street. Garden waste. That'd be any kind of plant, any organic material, you know, that just happens from the garden. Now, I do want to put a caution in here, and I had already mentioned this to you. Tomatoes, yours got some blight on them, and now that you're going to be having your own bin soon, you want to throw them in a trash bag and get them away from the house. Don't ever throw a diseased plant into the compost bin, because if it ends up in a part of the pile where the 160-degree temperature doesn't happen, the disease is liable to still exist, okay?
Okay.
So don't put diseased plant in there. But any garden waste that you have, vegetable scraps, you know, you're cleaning the potatoes or the carrots or whatever you're doing for dinner, you throw them in there. And this is high nitrogen stuff.
Okay.
Hay as opposed to straw. A straw is in the brown list. Hay's in the green nitrogen list. Straw is from... It's the stalk from wheat, and hay is just more like the grass that they cut, you know. It's just dried-out grass of some kind. Manure. Any kind of manure from a vegetarian animal would be the simplest way to explain that.
Okay.
Okay, so it could be, man, don't bring no pig manure in your house there or your yard. Some of that stuff smells. Cow manure and pig manure have an odor. When you get it buried in a pile, you wouldn't smell it because it's gonna, you know, the microorganisms are gonna be whacking it. But I have a friend who has rabbits, who raises rabbits, and I get the rabbit manure from him, and I can put that right in the pile. But any kind of manure, as long as it's not from cats or dogs or any meat-eating animal, okay, mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. It could be from chickens. It could be from ducks. As long as it's a vegetarian animal, you're safe. The cat and dog manure, just throw it in the trash because that could contain pathogens. And if the compost temperature, if it doesn't end up in a part of the pile, it hits that buck 60 temperature or whatever, then, you know, you could get sick. So just don't mess with that. But any other kind of manure would be just fine. Weeds, you're out weeding the garden, you know. Like we were talking earlier, Alan, once you get your pile up, when you're out pulling weeds, just heave them in the bin. You're throwing nitrogen in your bin. You're recycling the weeds. And as annoying as they are, they're going to turn into eggplants for you, okay?
Yeah, really.
Coffee grounds. You know, I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, but coffee grounds, believe it or not, are like somewhere around like 333 fertilizer, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little on the acid side. You could actually take coffee grounds and spread them around in your garden, just not up close to the plant. But they will turn a soil acid, but I won't get into all that. But as far as for the sake of the compost bin, yeah, never throw coffee grounds out there. You're going to want to keep them because they're really good. Alfalfa, you know, depending on where you live, you know, if you got access to alfalfa, throw that in. Clover, you know, when you get in the realm of that, just any organic material. If it grows, it'll compost, okay? So there's really a probably stay away from the poison ivy, you know?
Yeah.
spoiled produce, I got on there, and I'd already gone through that, you know. If there's a local produce market, you would generally find that they would love to get rid of that produce. And every day, well, even the supermarkets have somebody that, you know, have a way of dealing with it. On a daily basis, they take the stuff that's starting to shrivel up, and they heave it in a can, you know?
Yeah.
So you can get free nitrogen that way. Now, what not to use, that's important, too. Meat, bones, fish, fats, you know, like, yeah, you know, this fat from the steak, you don't want that in your compost. Dairy products, pet droppings, we already discussed that. You don't want your coal ash, and I come from coal cracker country, and, you know, tons and tons of that junk. They're real acid, and they have, you know, they're not good. You know, coal ashes will kill your garden, and you just, I don't know, you just don't put them in the compost, don't put them in your garden, do whatever you've been doing with them. Diseased plants, inorganic materials, obviously plastic and, you know, stuff along
yeah.
that line. So I think that's common sense. I don't think anybody would be putting that in, but I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the end of the composting, man. You know, I mean, if, the other thing is, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, if you don't have those green high nitrogen materials, you can use either lawn fertilizer or you can use blood meal as you build the bin, and that will compensate for the lack of nitrogen.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's the first time I've heard about blood meal.
Yeah, there's some people that know it. The reason I pick blood meal is because it's real high nitrogen. You could use cottonseed meal, okay, that has some nitrogen in it. It's cottonseed meal is probably sitting at about 5% nitrogen, blood meal sitting at 15%. There are other materials, you know.
Well, every time I talk to you, I get to thinking that I'm learning all this, and then you throw something new out there. So I just keep realizing that I still don't know anything.
You know plenty. You know plenty. No, I don't know nothing. I'm just kind of the approach that I think that, you know, I like to have in life is I don't know much, and I need to learn a lot more, and I just, you know, if you walk out and you never become a know-it-all, you end up learning a ton, you know, and that's just that's just the way I like to do things. And life's never boring. It's never, ever, 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 ever boring, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and, you know, boron, and molybdenum, and you know what I mean? And lithium, and I could go on for, and I'm like, man, I'm the most boring human being on the planet. Who cares, you know? But
well, it's all those millions of gardeners out there that's not having such good luck like they're wanting to. But, you know, again, like I say, they just follow what you have on there. It works.
Oh, it's going to work. You know, primarily what holds gardeners back and what held me back is, you know, I'm going to tell you this. Everybody has a neighbor who's a gardening expert, and if you look in their yard, you won't see a garden. Now, I guarantee you, I had this happen, and nothing against anybody, but be careful where you take advice from. you know, because everybody's an expert. I don't care. And Alan, you had golfers already come up, you know, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they may be experts, and they may know nothing. Either way, they're going to tell you what you're doing is wrong, and this is the way to do it. So just be careful. If you run into somebody that's got, what that page should I put on? Down at the bottom of the compost page, you'll see a cauliflower, and then you'll see a little photograph that says mini farm, okay? Now, when the person you're getting advice from, if their backyard looks like that mini farm picture,
mm-hmm.
then you go ahead, by all means, take advice from them. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But most times you're going to see they don't even have a garden, you know.
Well,
so.
it's like that one guy that came up to me yesterday when I was out there working, and I told you, and he said he had eggplants planted, and he had beautiful plants, beautiful flowers, but no eggplants.
Mm-hmm.
And I had learned this from you, so I asked him, I said, well, did you put some Miracle-Gro on there? And he said, yeah, I shot them with Miracle-Gro. Well, I learned from you, you don't put that Miracle-Gro on there until the fruit or the vegetable actually starts showing.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. You don't have to use, as far as Miracle-Gro, you can use the organic equivalent of the liquid seaweed, now depending on organic, non-organic. But Miracle-Gro actually is a quality product. The problem with Miracle-Gro is it's 24% nitrogen. So it breaks down to 24, 8, and I want to say 16, okay, if you
mm-hmm.
follow me. But it's 24% nitrogen. So what happened to that fellow is, now there are plants that want more Miracle-Gro. And let me slam the Miracle-Gro company a bit here. I was just starting out. I didn't know anything, okay? I bought the Miracle-Gro, and it said, and it had tomatoes listed. It said feed them every 2 weeks. Eggplant tomato have exactly the same habits. They're a related species, and they want the same things. Whatever you do to grow tomatoes, if it's working for you very, very well, then do the same thing with your eggplant. So I did. Every 2 weeks, I said, man, this is cool. And then plants grew. I had tomato trees. I got pictures. I'm 6'2". Of the plants towering over my head, okay? My wife is 5'1¾", last I checked, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever notice short people never forget about that 3/4 of an inch, you know?
Yeah.
And I was teasing her, man. I'm like, oh, God, I got to, and I'm like, Deb, you know, where's she at? You know, she says, I'm here, and I can't see nothing. So I told her, you know, you ever see bicycles got them little flags on the back?
Yeah.
On a pole? Yeah, I'm going to tie a flag onto you so I can see in back of the tomatoes, you know. But I had these bragging pictures, you know. Well, what I got was an 8-foot tomato plant with 8 tomatoes on it. So
yeah.
What happened to that fellow with the eggplants is, so Miracle-Gro, if you're going to use it on specifically tomatoes or eggplants, at the point that the fruit sets,
yeah,
you can hit it with the Miracle-Gro, but that's it. When you put, if you want to, at the point you transplant, assuming you transplant, you could hit it with Miracle-Gro. So only 2 times in the lifespan of a tomato plant or of a eggplant would you want to use Miracle-Gro. So, but I just did what was on the box. So that being said, it does work, but there's crops that want nitrogen and there's crops that don't. So
yeah, well, I knew that's what he did because he. He hit them with that Miracle-Gro, and the plants grew like crazy, but no tomato or no eggplant. So, but I didn't tell him, you know. But
I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. If someone asks me a question, I'll throw an answer out there at them. God bless him. He's trying to grow something, you know.
Well, we've got 17 minutes here remaining. One thing you had mentioned that you were going to say on this show was you would tell what people could grow right now, no matter where they live.
Yeah, I'm digging that up as you speak. Okay, one thing that occurred to me, and I try to like put myself in the mindset of like who's out there listening, you know. And you know, and like I said, I do have a friend, and another friend I got's in Butte, Montana. She's not only in Butte, it's a friend of my wife. She's not only in Butte; she's in the mountains north, you know, a higher elevation than Butte. And I've never been to Butte, Montana in my life, but I'm going to tell you something, that's the coldest place on the planet, you know? Unreal, gorgeous, beautiful place, but now I'm knowing that she cannot plant anything right now. You know, now she's very, very, very good, having lived in that climate all her life, about putting little greenhouses up and extending her growing. See, that's another thing that's going to be up there, is PVC greenhouses. That'll be up in the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
Yeah. So you won't so much need it, Alan. Now you could, if you wanted to extend your tomato season, you can build one. It's very cheap. It's just clear plastic and PVC pipe, and I'm going to have step-by-step directions on exactly how to make one, exactly what you need, and someone that's in a place like Butte, Montana, if you had something in the ground, you can add another month to your growing season for a couple of dollars, you know.
Wow.
So, but that occurred to me. I'm like, man, it's August the 19th. Who's going to want to listen to a gardening show? So I went ahead and did a little research, and what I found is zones 3 and 4, the zone map's not up there yet, but you could just put, just do a search on USDA zone map, and you can pull down specifically where you live, no problem. There's, the United States government has a million copies of it floating around. Okay, zone 3 and 4, that would be Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming, a chunk of, man, just going from what the little squares on the map look like. Looks like a chunk of Colorado and all that. Zone 3 and 4, get the snow shovel, okay?
Yeah.
There's not much you can do right now. What you can do in Zone 3 and 4, is, if you wanted to, is you could do the first step of the superfoods method, right? Flip the soil over, and then those supplements will be working on, through the winter underneath the ground, okay? And then get winter rye and shove that in now and just plant that. Don't do step two, okay, because you don't want all your supplements to be exposed to the elements, you know, for between now and when you plant. So zone 3 and 4, you can throw the winter rye out, and what the winter rye does is throws nitrogen into your soil. It prevents it from eroding, and it'll actually fertilize your ground. So you can shove something in Montana, depending on where you're at, or the Dakotas right now, but not that you can eat, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's zone 3 and 4. Zone 5. And these zones, I mean, they overlap pieces of different states, you know. In general, Zone 5, if you drew a line from, you know, southern New York State, it goes all the way across and then doubles up. But just a few of the places that are in Zone 5 are northern Pennsylvania, Kansas, Nevada, a big chunk of New York State. What you can plant right now in Zone 5 is garden cress, short-season lettuce, radishes, and spinach. Okay, so there is, in fact, if you're in Syracuse, New York, you could go out and crack that ground tomorrow and get you some lettuce.
Huh.
Okay, because it goes by averages and it changes with elevation, but and in general, their average frost date for those areas is around October 10th. The other thing I would strongly suggest, and it goes by a variety of names. Now, if you want to look like a master gardener, first hit, get pak choy. It's pak choy or bok choy. And a lot of people, it's not grown all that much in this country, amazingly, you know, but over in China, obviously. When you go to the Chinese restaurant, that green leafy stuff that you're seeing in the stir fry, that's bok choy.
Oh, okay.
And you cannot go wrong. You could heave this stuff on a gravel road and it'll grow a foot high. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's really good. So if you can find those, if you didn't want to do anything else in Zone 5, just get you some bok choy seeds. And just dig a garden and put them down, and you'll be impressing the neighbors right away. When the pak choy is small, you can use it in fresh salad. As it gets larger, you can just cook it. You throw it in soup. You can do anything with it. It's really good.
Wow.
Yeah, but and strangely, you don't hear much about it. You know, so I did have a little bit of challenge finding the seeds. I ordered them off my friend that owns a nursery, or my wife's friend that owns a nursery. She ordered them from him. So
that's neat. So even if you're up in New York right now, you could grow stuff.
Today.
Yeah, today.
Today, yeah. I'm real, real aware of what I can grow where I live, and I'm thinking, man, people are going to say, man, I can't grow nothing in Rochester, New York right now. Well, yeah, you can, but, you know, there's a limited amount of radishes, and, you know, a good way to find out what you can grow is if you do a search on in some cases the county, say you live in Syracuse County, what the heck do I know? If you do search Syracuse County Agriculture, you're liable to bring up a link for the local Agriculture Extension Office, and you can call them and say, hey, what can I grow now? And they'll tell you.
Yeah.
And in some cases, they'll do free or cheap soil tests if you want. So that's a real good thing to know. What zone were we just in, Alan? We were in 5-6. Six would be a band from southern Pennsylvania and parts in New Jersey across to North Texas. And so zone 6, you can plant anything we just discussed. So whatever you can put in 5, you just, you know, but for right here, right now, mustard greens and obviously the pak choy, radishes, turnips, all that. So you can plant everything that you can do in Zone 5, you can do in Zone 6 as well.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And Zone 7 is a little further south, and a big chunk of Virginia, Tennessee, Arkansas, straight across to Central Texas. And if you wait, actually there you can wait a couple more weeks. You can put beets, Swiss chard, kale, kohlrabi, collard greens, cabbage, Chinese cabbage, parsley, peas, turnips,
wow,
head lettuce, leaf lettuce. Okay, this is Zone 7 now. That's a big, big chunk of the country, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm betting people out there in Richmond right now are thinking you can't plant nothing. You can plant a ton of stuff.
Wow.
A ton of stuff. And, you know, mustard, greens. You know, there again, if you need local information, what I did, I couldn't figure out what I could plant when, where I live. And just one day I just went on a search engine and I typed in, I thought, well, you know, I heard the University of Florida has an agriculture department. So I typed in U.S. agriculture. That's all I typed in. And what I brought down was dozens of pages of, I have a printout, and I know I gave a copy to you, Alan,
uh-huh,
that says specifically for Central Florida. It also has North and South Florida. And depending on what state you live in, you know, if you live in Tennessee, you know, you're going to find a similar printout from a university in Tennessee. It says down to the day exactly what to plant, when to plant, and what it likes, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, so there's a lot of local information that I'm not going to bother to put on my site. Eventually, I'm going to have a links page, a state-by-state links page, and then you can just pick your state and pull the information down yourself. So.
Wow, that'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Zone 7. And you can plant all kinds of stuff, you know. Zone 8, and like I say, anybody, you just put USDA zone map, and you'll pull down an image of it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just if you have to, just drag down an image of the United States if you don't know, you know, if you're not geographically oriented. And geez, I live in Tennessee, but where is it on this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Zone 8 is North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, South Central Texas. That's primarily Zone 8. Zone 8, you can plant everything that I mentioned in Zone 5, 6, and 7, in addition to broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots, cauliflower, even if I mentioned this already, beets, Chinese cabbage, leaf lettuce, shallots, radishes, peas, mustard greens.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I want to put, yeah. Do you know how many people are living there right now that don't know they can grow anything this time of year?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Now, here's the thing I want to caution with, because you're getting down into the Carolinas and stuff like that. There are things, okay, where I live, I'm in Zone 9, that I don't want to plant right now. So you do want to get some localized information, and I know that, I know Georgia especially, I mean, North Georgia, you know, you get up at Gainesville, Georgia, and all, a totally different climate than Savannah, you know?
Yeah.
So you want to get some localized information, because you don't want to get the lettuce in too early. Okay, you get down to Savannah, you're semi-tropical, really, you know.
Yeah.
If you put the lettuce in today, it might bolt on you. And what happens is when lettuce gets exposed to too much heat, it goes to seed real quick. So if you're in Savannah, you know, you might want to wait a couple weeks. But just get the local information from the University of Georgia, and that'll cue you in on an exact date. You probably want to put the lettuce in right after Labor Day as opposed to right now. So, but, yeah, Zone 8, everything that you could do 5, 6, and 7, you can do in Zone 8. You just may want to wait a little while for some of it.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to get into Zone 9. Zone 9 is primarily, you know, the northern part of Florida. Let's see. It's kind of hard to tell. Zone 9, yeah, let's just say the northern half of Florida, just for the sake of keeping it simple. South Texas, coastal California. Yeah, I haven't been mentioning California enough here, but coastal California is Zone 8 and 9, a lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
And all the way up the coastal areas of Oregon and Washington State as well are Zone 8 and 9, okay? Now, California is a big place, and so is Washington and Oregon. And as you grab elevation and as you get away from the coast, you're going to be cutting back into Zone 5 and 6 and every kind of thing like that, you know?
Yeah.
But the coastal areas of California, there's nothing you can't plant right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people seem to know, but I really doubt that the people in coastal Washington and Oregon are aware of all they could grow.
Yeah.
You know, but it's because of the proximity to the ocean, and because the ocean, yeah, well, the wind always blows east in Seattle, you know?
Yeah.
I think anyway, if you can get any sun in Seattle, that'd be another issue there.
Yeah.
So where are we at with that? Okay, Zone 9.
That's neat. Yeah, I got 6 minutes.
Six minutes?
Six minutes.
Man, I talk too much, huh? Well, I hope it's helping, you know.
Oh yeah, like I said, a lot of people, I don't even think they can. I had a guy yesterday just tell me that, you know, he was going to start, but then he decided to wait because it's getting too late. But you know, I wanted to tell him you can go ahead and plant.
In Florida, it's never too late. There's stuff you can shove in the ground in January.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that list right in front of me, you know, off the top of my head, but yeah. You live in once you can master the challenges of the extreme climate that you're living in, Alan, there's no limit to what you can produce. There's just absolutely no limit. You know, so we're blessed with that, you know, but if someone's up north in any of those areas that I mentioned, you can plant something now, and at the very least, even if you are up in Butte, Montana, you can go ahead and build the compost bin, and then when the spring rolls around, you'll be able to do something with that. So that's zone 9. In addition to everything else I mentioned, you know, lime right now or between now, let me say between now and primarily between now and September 15th, but again, for people that are in those zones, get some localized information exact. But you can plant lima beans, snap beans, cucumbers, okras, black-eyed peas, potatoes, summer squash, tomatoes, and I told you, a guy said you can't plant tomatoes this time of year. But
yeah, you can.
Do it anyway, Alan. Pepper, egg. Probably he'd tell you eggplant. You ever heard of eggplant? You know, just about.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, Zone 10 is primarily South Florida, Orlando South, and South Texas.
Uh-huh.
Primarily. Now, there are some pieces of Louisiana, Alabama. You know, when you get down the Gulf Coast, there, but a big chunk of South Texas and probably, and I can't tell by the colors of this map, it's possible that there's some Zone 10 in California. I just don't know, you know.
Wow.
There ain't nothing that you can't plant.
Well, that's cool. Okay, well, we're winding down 4 minutes, so they can go to your website, right? Greenfreedomonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
And click around on the pages, and they can see what all they need to do, and you've got it all laid out there for them, how to build their own, make their own compost, and a couple messages on how to get the gardens going. So, and you're going to be tweaking that, so we're just going to keep an eye on it and get you back on here, and we'll just keep these things rolling.
Yeah, anytime, you know. Anytime you need advice on your garden, just invite me on your show, right?
We'll do it.
Yeah, other thing I want to mention is my email address is Barry, Barry, @greenfreedomonline.com. Also, if you look at the top of any one of the pages, you're going to see contact us. Us being me, and I'll answer any question you got. You know, just fire away the email, and I'll give you a prompt response. If I don't know the answer, I'll figure it out. So,
all right. So Barry @greenfreedomonline.com.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. I know you've got two pages up there. You got the home page, and then how to make your how to turn your backyard into a produce market.
Oh, yeah, let me throw it out there quick. If you go down, there's a quick start method I added, and I didn't get the link up on every individual page, but if you go down to the bottom of how to turn your yard into a produce market, you're going to see a quick start method link, and that'll get you up and running in 20 minutes at the store, an hour in a backyard. I put that up there. I also put a 15, and we're not going to have time to talk about it, I put a 15-minute garden method up there, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, you did? Okay, on which page?
That'd be on the bottom of how to turn your yard into a produce market. You're going to see a thing that says a couple additional gardening methods, I believe is what I called it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you've got the page, how to make your own compost. And you're going to be just adding to this site over and over and over. I mean, you're just getting started. I mean, just like we talked about the energy tips and everything, I mean, you've got a lot of things coming.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm headed next. Also, anybody that knows me on Twitter, they're like, oh, he's that guy that never Twitters. But I'll be doing more of it. My Twitter thing is GreenGuru09. So if someone wants to look me up, follow me on Twitter, I'll be doing a lot more of that. You know, I really actually love it, but I just, you know, I'm faced with some challenging hours and trying to get this site up. But I am going to be more active on that. So anybody, follow me, I'll follow you back is basically what I'm saying. And if you have questions and I'm on Twitter, I could also answer them at any time. You know, just look for me up there, you know.
Yeah, so that's twitter.com/greenguru09, right?
That's it.
So you're just getting all out there.
Yeah, the energy stuff's where I'm heading next. You know, when I finish tweaking these pages out and I get the rest of the gardening stuff up there, the energy stuff's what I'm going to be hitting next, and then eventually I'm going to bring, you know, have experts on a variety of, you know, how to make hydrogen in your garage, and I already know how to make ethanol. I'm building an ethanol still, and I'm going to take pictures as I go along. I better not take too much, man. I'll have the zoning people in my yard.
Well, you're going to be having you're going to be having a show coming to Blog Talk Radio, right?
Yeah, beginning in mid-September, it's going to be called Green Freedom Online Radio. So
Green Freedom Online Radio to Blog Talk Radio. When did you say mid-September?
I'm looking for a month.
Okay.
Down the road, but, you know, I mean, I was looking to kick the website off in May, so
yeah.
I'll let everybody know. I'll Twitter it out there, and I'll put a big post up, and I know you, Alan, you'll probably put a post up when the show kicks live, too. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah,
I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, we've got about 55 seconds, so, Barry, thanks for coming on. Everybody, check out this greenfreedomonline.com. It's just amazing information. And a lot more stuff coming. So, Barry, thanks for being here. We'll do it again, and we'll be looking forward to your show in September.
All right, Alan. Thanks for hanging out with me today, buddy. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. This is Truth About Trucking Live. Hope you enjoyed the show. And keep checking back at blogtalkradio.com/truthabouttrucking for our shows. We've got shows coming up about health insurance, all kinds of shows will be coming up pretty soon. So we appreciate it. And so until next time, for Truth About Trucking Live, I'm Alan Smith. Drive safe, and thanks for listening.